السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه خلافة was an era of great military conquest and also economic prosperity. That being said, Umar رضي الله عنه ruled for many years, over 10 years. But not all of that time was easy and without difficulties. Based on the laws by which Allah Ta'ala governs this world, every nation must face its share of hardships and tragedies. Sometime you'll get powerful nations making zulm on weaker nations. But then you will get natural disasters affecting powerful nations. There's no nation that can say they got no problem at all. Some problem or the other will come on everybody. So this is a universal law of Allah Ta'ala that doesn't change. So this applies even for the ummah. No matter how pious the ummah may be, no matter how close to Allah Ta'ala they may be, but they too will face difficulties and hardships in life. You take the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, there's no human being greater than them. But they too faced, on a personal level, they faced difficulties, problems, and then they were troubled from their ummah also, and sometimes hardships and difficulties came upon their ummahs also. So two of the greatest hardships that Muslims faced during the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, one was the year of ashes, it was called the year of the ashes. And the second one was the plague of Amwas. Both these things took place during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. So a great leader, a good leader, he is not defined only by how he conducts himself during good times. But when the times are tough, when there's tragedies, when there's problems, then at that time, how he handles the situation, what he does during those times, that is how you will judge a strong leader. So the leader, one is during good times, how he conducts himself. But then in difficult times, when there's tragedies, etc., how he handles that situation. During good times, anybody can be good. Now when there's a problem, how you handle that. You know, like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, how he handled the situation when the drought was in Egypt, took care of that whole thing. Then even at that time, his own personal facing up to his brothers, etc., how he handled that also, sabr, steadfastness like a rock, not shaking. You take Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one was all the difficulties so many years, now when there was Fateh Makkah, now how he handled that situation. These were great rulers. Umar radiallahu anhu, obviously they are his examples. They are following in the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when these problems happened, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turned to Allah ta'ala, making dua for Allah's guidance, Allah's help. And rather than do nothing, one is to make dua, but then you have to also have some contingency plan, you have to do something. Right. So he took the necessary steps to help his people brave the hardships that they faced so that they could survive to see better times. So in the year 18 Hijri, a major drought overwhelmed the Arabian Peninsula. Very severe drought. There seemed no end to the drought. People were on the verge of starvation. So bad did the situation become that the wild animals, finding no prey or vegetation upon which to feed, entered the cities, started coming into the towns, coming down looking for something to eat. And when a man would slaughter a sheep, the condition of the animal was so frail and its body was such in a state of advance that he would be disgusted by its rotten meat. Slaughtering the sheep fresh, that animal is so, is like, the animal is like on the brink of death. Now how are you going to salvage that meat and what you going to do? Not being able to eat it, flocks of livestock died of starvation. So that year was called the year of ashes. It was so called because the dry dust that was blown by the wind took on the appearance of ashes. The drought worsened and food was very hard to come by. The inhabitants of the desert flocked towards Madina Munawara, taking up residence inside or near it. They came with the hope that the Amir al-Mu'mineen could present to them a solution to their problems. No one perceived the scope of the calamity better than Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh did, and no one felt more responsible to alleviate the sufferings of the Muslims than Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh did. That is a true leader. Today's time, the leaders are more worried about themselves, their own selfish interests and needs and desires and greed, rather than worry about the masses, worry about the people. So the following is a discussion of some of the steps that Umar radiallahu anh took in order to deal with the calamity that befell the members of the nation at that time. So during the early stages of the drought, Umar radiallahu anh was given some bread which had been soaked in oil. So not wanting to eat the food all by himself, he invited a Bedouin, a villager, to come and share that meal with him. When they began eating, the Bedouin did something strange. After eating one morsel, he would eat some ghee from the side of the dish. So Umar Radlan asked him, "It is as if you have not eaten ghee in quite some time, what we will call butter bread, man. How we'll take butter, put in the bread, like that." So he's taking and he's putting some ghee. So the Bedouin replied that that is the case. For such a long time, he gave Umar on the jury, so long, I haven't eaten any ghee or olive oil or anything. He's just dry, he's just eating dry, he didn't have anything to put on the bread. And then he said, "Forget me, I haven't seen anybody else in our village also eating." So Umar Ram just heard that statement. And to him, he realized that even a common meal was not for him to be enjoyed. Something that was regarded as common, not an extravagant meal, just a common thing, is some bread with some ghee on it. So even that was not for him to be enjoyed. If people that are under his rule do not have that, then how can I eat it? People, my subjects don't have it, how can I have it? That's how they thought. So he took an oath to refrain from eating with ghee until people's lives improved and the drought came to an end. So he won't. All narrators are in agreement that Umar radiallahu anhu was very determined to fulfill this oath. For instance, When a large shipment of ghee and milk arrived in Madina Munawara, a young servant bought quantities of each for Umar radiallahu anhu, paying 40 dirhams for the transaction. The young boy felt that he was justified in buying the food, since the large shipment meant that the situation in the Arabian Peninsula was improving. If there's so much of ghee and milk available, then maybe the situation is now improving. So he went to Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled your oath and has increased your sawab. So a large quantity of milk and ghee has arrived in the marketplace and I bought some of both things for 40 dirhams. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, "You paid too much for it. You paid too much. Give whatever you have purchased away in sadaqah. Give it away. I abhor the idea of eating from the proceeds of an extravagant purchase." Umar Radlan then said something that showed what kind of a great leader he was. He said, "How will I come to care about the affairs of the people? How will I care for them if I am not afflicted by the same thing that afflicts them? If I can't feel their pain, how am I going to be able to care for them?" See, I'll tell you one incident, right? One person was working for one company. And he was a normal worker in that company, earning a basic salary. So with the salary, he's just making ends meet. One day, the employer's some family member was stuck on the highway near the town where this person stayed. So because he worked for the company, so they got hold of him. They say, "You know what, there's some people stuck there." It was on a weekend. There's some people stuck outside there. So see if you can organize some help for them. See what's the story, what petrol, or whatever the situation. So he went there and it turned out that they didn't have fuel in the car. There was some problem with the fuel gauge or whatever. And these people didn't realize. They thought that they will make it to their destination, but they got stuck without fuel. So they asked this person, "Will you be able to buy some fuel for us? Get the fuel in." So he went to the petrol station and he filled up the fuel and he came and put for them in a 25 liter or something gallon. He bought the fuel and he came and gave them. So it came to about 200 rand. The fuel came to about 200 rand that time. And he filled them up. And all the time now he's in communication with the employer. So they say, "Okay, they'll pay him the money." But they didn't pay him the money. They went away. And it was the last week of the month. Now this fellow, he don't have milk and bread money for that week. That was his milk and bread money for the week. But the employer is not taking name of paying him. So he was upset. He said, "Now, how am I going to tell him, pay me my money? They know now I use the 200 rand to fill the petrol. And they're supposed to pay me back. They're not paying me back. Now how am I going to ask for the money? They should think that they need to pay me the money." So I told him, I said, "See, your boss, he never lived your life. He can't understand what it means to budget. He can't understand that, you know what, this 200 rand was your last 200 rand of the month. Because he never ever experienced that. His father was a boss, his grandfather was a boss, and now he's a boss. So they don't know what it means to you, you're down to your last pennies. So they can't understand. If you fill 200 rand, now probably if he filled the 200 rand fuel for somebody, it's like a gesture of kindness, it's written off, he's not even going to worry about the money. So he can't see it from where you're seeing it. That was my last 200 rand for the month now. That's my milk and bread money for this week till my next paycheck. He can't understand that. So that's why there's no urgency in him paying you back the money. So why I'm mentioning this to you is, you see, one person, he put it very beautifully. He said, you see, you will make qadr of your mother. You'll value your mother the day your daughter becomes a mother. Not even the day your wife becomes a mother. Because wife, you take her for granted. The day your daughter becomes a mother, then you'll value your mother. When you see your daughter's pain, the father sees his daughter's pain, now he'll realize what his mother went through. Understand? So till you can't feel somebody else's pain, you won't be able to care for them. You won't be able to care for them. You don't know what it is. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that, how will I be able to care for them if I don't feel their pain? So I must live same like how they living, to be able to understand what they going through. Then I will understand that I need to rectify, I need to make things better for them. Understand? So the leaders of today, what they can understand, what the person on the street, what he is going through. They can't understand. Because they don't experience it. They're living it up. They're not worried about anything else. So this was not mere words. Umar Ridwan lived by this. Suffering not only the same, but even more than the subjects. Hardships during the drought, he took more hardships than what the common man was suffering at that time. Umar radiallahu ta'ala went through many hardships throughout his life, especially the years during which he stood steadfast alongside Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwarah. But the year of the ashes was different. Umar radiallahu anhu felt responsible for each and every citizen. And since he was not able to alleviate their situation, he at the very least was determined to set a good example for them. And so he went without food. He stayed without food. Even though, as a leader of the nation, he could have had anything he wanted to eat, he could have had it. But he stayed without food. As months passed by, he became weak to an extent that even the color of his skin changed. Even the color, he's not looking bright anymore. Even the color of his skin changed to an unhealthy looking color. Such was his situation. Iyaz bin Khalifa said, when I saw Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu during the year of the ashes, his face had turned dull. He was an Arab man who Arabs, they love to eat ghee and yogurt. That's what they eat, the ghee, and they eat yogurt with the khajur. That's their food. But when drought afflicted the people, he forbade himself from eating those foods. Instead, he went hungry for long periods of time. It is related that Aslam was Umar Ranaanu's attendant, you know. Aslam said, we used to say amongst ourselves that had not Allah Ta'ala ended the drought that took place during the year of the ashes, Umar radiallahu anhu would have died out of concern for the Ummah, he would have died. If all the Muslims could not enjoy specific types of food, Umar radiallahu anhu, as a show of solidarity with them, he refused to eat those foods. If anything was given to him and the common man on the street couldn't afford that, he wouldn't eat. So he'll only eat what everybody can afford to eat. Anything above that, he won't partake of it. He won't eat. He would fast for many consecutive days, and during the year of the ashes, whenever evening time would arrive, he would take some bread and he would dip it in water or something to soften it, just to make it a little bit soft, and then he would eat it. Right? If there was some oil, not ghee, some oil, he would dip it in the oil a little bit, make it a little bit soft, and he would eat it. And that would be his meal for the day. That's his meal. One day a camel was slaughtered. Its meat was distributed among the people. The people who were in charge of the slaughtering, they kept the best parts of the meat for Umar radiallahu anhu. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen now, so they want to give him the best, right? So the meat from the hump of the camel, you know what is called sweet meat, you know? Not because it got sugar. That meat from the camel is like an extra meat. Now, it's a very soft, right? So they kept that, and the liver, the kareji, they kept that. When the meat was presented to Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked, where did this come from? So they replied, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, it came from the camel that we slaughtered today. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, said, very good, wonderful, but what a vile leader I would be if I ate the best part of the camel and left the people to eat its bones. Take this tray away and give me something else. Say, give me some bread. Then he began to break the bread with his hand, dipped it, and then he said, woe unto you, O Yarfa. Lift up this tray and take it to the household of Yasmar. I have not gone to them in 3 days, and I fear that maybe they haven't eaten anything, so go and give this to them. So even that bread he felt guilty of eating. So this to rather go give it to those people. I didn't go check on them for 3 days. Allah Ta'ala, you know, this is why one alim was giving a bayan, and he said that if the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would have been alive today, then if they seen how we live, they would have regarded us to be hypocrites. So one person in the majma got very upset. How can this Mawlana call us munafiqs? He was pacifying him. I said, he's not calling us munafiqs. What he's trying to say is, we're so far away from the life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum led. Right? Now you take our situation, how much of wealth we waste on just luxuries. The family just goes out, they go out to eat. Sometimes thousands of rands are spent. Nothing, don't bother. And yet, maybe in that same family, there's a widow at home, she's battling making rotis and sending to try and just pay her rent. In this, forget anywhere else, in that very same family, sometimes there's a brother that's battling, there's a widow that is battling. You can just spend money on things that are not needed at all. Sometimes that one meal, the bill is enough, the value of that bill is enough to give one family whole month's grocery. The whole month's grocery will come out with that one bill. And sometimes not even a meal. They just go, what is that? There's one place they sell ice cream. One shop sell ice cream. So one day, some family people, they're telling me, no, you must taste this ice cream. You must go there. Ice cream is something. So, they brought this ice cream. Small thing like this. I think the big one, 5 liters, 2 liters, something. So one small thing like this. I said, this is the ice cream. Said, how much is this ice cream? The amount for that small thing, you'll be able to buy one 2 liter ice cream somewhere. I said, I'm going to take this thing away. How are you going to eat this thing? How can you eat this? How you'll answer? How can you eat this? Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah guide us. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.